Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Asare. Reverend Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister. He has been ministering for over 20 years and has traveled extensively. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now here is Reverend Collins.
Hallelujah. Are you excited to be here tonight? Are you sure you're excited? All right, let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't you commit yourself, commit your heart, commit your mind into the hands of the Lord tonight. Ask the Lord to speak to you. Ask the Lord to speak to your heart. Ask the Lord to not allow you to leave tonight's service the same as you came. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Pray, somebody pray. Pray. Pray to God tonight. Pray to God tonight. Pray to God tonight. Cabros que brindes. Riba babas cabrana macaya basenderere. Lebros e brinderes. Mayandere. Quebres que brinde macaya barabasatarababa. Rebos que brema sandara macabra basite brebe. Mende, 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 mende. Lebrosa cabrasa cabrande rebe cabra baba. Blessed be your name, O God. So blessed be the name of the Lord, and He is worthy to be praised and adored. So we lift up holy hands in one accord, singing, blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. And He is worthy to be praised and adored. So we lift up holy hands in one accord, singing, blessed be the name. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, tonight, blessed be your name. Thank you for bringing us together again. Thank you for your kindness and your mercies towards us. We pray that, Lord, you will minister to us, speak to our hearts, affect our lives, help us to understand your purpose for our lives. Thank you that above all, you not allow us to leave your presence the same as we came. Thank you, Father, for your presence tonight in our midst. In Jesus' name. And somebody said, amen. Hallelujah. You may please be seated in the presence of the Lord. Wow. We're looking at Lycos. We're winding down, isn't it? Like teaching on Lycos. How many weeks is it? 4 weeks already? I thought it was five. It's four, only four? This is the fifth week we're going into. Are you sure? Is this on the fifth week? This Sunday will be the sixth Sunday, no? Fifth Sunday. Are you sure? Are you counting? How come you are counting? Why are you counting? Sorry, you wonder why you're counting, isn't it? Okay. So, basically, it's very simple. We're looking at the lay ministry. Somebody say the lay ministry. Many people don't understand that there's something called the lay ministry, which means that you, as a normal person, as a regular person, as a normal teacher, a normal sales girl, sales boy, student, that with all of what you are still expected by the Lord to do the work of the ministry. And the work of the ministry is quite a simple thing. Are you there with me tonight? I'm saying that. You see, what I'm saying, if you really understand it, that Satan has not put stones in your ears, you respond. After church, you say, oh, what can I do? What should I do? What must I do? That's after this 6 weeks, I'm going to teach you types of church members, goats, antelope. I'll teach you all of that. Yeah. Because I see some church members are goats. Did you know that people behave like goats? Miss Prophet, did you know that? Pastor Yi, what's happening? You look like you're in parliament and the thing they're discussing is boring. Like how Anil was sleeping the last time. Where's Prince? He didn't come as yet. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. So we're looking at all that we are talking about, the book and Lycos and all of that. It's quite simple. It is just people, normal like you and I, but preaching, not singing, not concert. Guyanese, we like concert. Everything concert, everything singing. But singing doesn't change people. Singing just hype. I hypes you. Hypes doesn't change. It is the Bible says that it is the preaching of the gospel that changes. That I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. I was changed by the preaching. It wasn't by singing. Were you changed by songs? I walk in power and then you are saved. That is basically all these 6 weeks of Sunday and Tuesday and Thursday. All that God is telling you is that as normal as you are, as complicated as you are, as ordinary as you are, you have to rise up and be a preacher. Not in the future, not next year, but now. I'm not going to open the book and start preaching like we don't know what we are talking about. This is exactly what we are talking about. And some people have tried. Some people have gotten fed up with this type of messages. They leave the church for a year, they come back. It's the same message you are preaching. You will never finish preaching about preachers. Yeah. So that's basically what I'm going to talk about tonight. Whatever I'm saying is simple. You must preach. And you must just rise up and say, Reverend, when do I preach? That's all. In fact, we'll finish. Bring your offering. We are going home. All the 30 minutes, the 40 minutes I'm going to talk. That's basically what I'm trying to say. God is looking for people to preach. Are you with me? So I'm saying that God wants you to preach. God wants you to, and you see, to preach, and in a sense that it's not like this pulpit. This pulpit, you hardly will get the chance here to preach. You have to pray for me to die. Because if I don't dead, you can't preach here. This is my church. This is the church that I pastor. So even if I'm sick, I'll come and preach. I'll sit there. You know, Dr. Cho used to come in a wheelchair to preach. Yeah. Before God gave him the idea of home sales. He wasn't feeling well at all, but the people would carry him. He would sit in a wheelchair on stage and he would preach. Until he blacked out, he could not do anything. He was sick for 10 years. He couldn't preach for 10 years. Yeah. Because in his mind, in his time, even though he was very determined and dedicated to his work, in another sense, he was also, God found it very offensive that he was thinking it was by his might and power. So God took him off for 10 years for him to learn that it's not him. And that so that when the 10 years when he was sick for 10 years. Oh. I mean, we talk, 10 years looks like just yesterday. He was sick for 365 days in a year by 10. 3,650 days. Bedroom. He couldn't go anywhere. Then there was no option but to allow people to preach.
So that's when the home cell concept came about. God had to free him from the mindset of, I can do it by myself. Which we have learned long time ago, and we are not trying to do that. Because the things that we are asking you to do, we can do them all. Ask yourself, when there was no home cell, who was doing visitation and who was doing all the bringing to church? Who was doing it? Ask yourself, who was doing it? Can you ask yourself? I want to hear you ask yourself. When there was no home cell, who was bringing the people to church? Who was visiting them? Evanda? Who was doing that? It was me. I visit from whenever to whenever time. Sunday morning. You just came. That's why you don't understand how the thing is working. But you see, the system is not, we cannot do that. That's not what God wants. God wants, in the house of the Lord, everybody is important. So God wants all of us to be involved. That's why we are preaching this message. Yo. If it wasn't God who wants that, why should I share the glory and the blessing with you? I said, why should I share the glory and the blessing with you? And that's how come you can see the difference in church members, you know. Like I was saying, the goat and the sheep and all of that. Is it Saturday when we had a marriage conference? There's some guys working outside. So after I went there, after the whole thing, I went there to check what they were doing. And they said, they were really listening to what I was saying. And I don't know, but today one of them came to me. As if I was his pastor to tell me his problems. He came here to work. Instead of working, he's coming to talk to the pastor. And he told me that even though he was not in the church, he was touched by the things I was preaching about. You cannot be touched. You are not touched. I said, you are not touched. When I say come, you don't come. I say go, you don't go. When I say come and do preach, you don't want to preach. When the person who does not even sit in the church like you sit in there is touched. And you are in the church, you are not touched. It's fantastic. So my message is simple. God wants you to preach. And not when your problems get solved. Not when you leave your boyfriend or you leave your girlfriend or when you stop smoking or drinking. Now, God wants you to preach now. So after church, I want to see names written down at the back. I said, after church, I want to see you register your name at the back for the meeting in the Aqua Ballroom after church. We want 100 preachers. I'm looking for 100 preachers for now. We will increase it to 200, but we want 100 first. They will go to 200. How many understand what I'm trying to say? Yeah. You see, if you don't cooperate, the work will not go well. I was surprised. I was in Kurukuru on Sunday. A pastor friend invited me to come and preach at his harvest service. Yeah. And so he asked me to raise funds for him. I was surprised, Raphael. I raised over $1 million before I came. Yeah. If I tell you, Kurukuru. That same place. Over $1 million. Yeah. I mentioned the amount, the people just come. Because some powerful man of God has come. You, when I say 5,000, you sit down, you look upstairs, you look downstairs. Yeah. I raised one Sunday. It's not convention. This is not 3 days, 1 week. One service. Preach for 40 minutes like that. And then over $1 million I raised. When I finished preaching, I gave the microphone to the pastor. He whispered into my ears. He said, good job, very good job, very good job. I hope I can raise $1 million in my Sunday morning service too. I wonder. Let's try it and see. Yeah, let's try and see. How many of you will give me 100,000 today? 10 people to give me 100,000. Where are you? Yeah, like joke, stand up and give it. You're looking at me. A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country. Yeah. Somebody had come here and be doing some miracles and say, hey, we'll come and be a home cell leader. You come and yes. Yeah, it's true. That's how human beings are. Mm-hmm. So We are doing some chapter, but remember the beginning and the end of my message is that you must preach. All right? So everything I'm saying, if you like, don't listen. The only thing is that you must preach. All right? Chapter what? Seven things you must... What are we doing? Chapter 3? Why God will praise through the lay ministry. Okay, we did money last week, isn't it? What did we say about money? He said that if you don't allow the lay ministry, if you do not allow your volunteers to work in the ministry, everything done in the church will be related to money. Money. Anything that anybody wants to do or is supposed to do, they will be asking for money. I want to take the last point as we close up this chapter today. And that is, if you do not allow laymen to work in the ministry, people will not learn obedience and submission. Obedience and submission. Page number 10. If you do not allow laymen to work, if you do not allow volunteers to work in the ministry, people will not learn obedience and submission. Obedience and submission. The Bible says that to obey is better than sacrifice. Obedience is a very important key in serving and following God. You see, the opposite of obedience is rebellion. And many people are in churches and they are rebels because they don't follow what the pastor says. In fact, it is part of Guyanese culture not to allow the pastor to tell you what you got to do. Is it today? I was talking to one of my favorite church members. And she was trying to tell me how I have influenced her. You know, as much as I was excited about what she was saying, and I thank God for the influence. One thing I didn't tell her, and if she's here listening to me, I wanted to know, that it's also because she allowed me. Because I can't have an influence on you if you don't want me to have influence on you. I can affect your life. See, I am a vessel. I am a cup. I have water in it. You will not drink. I can't force the water. I can't pour myself into your mouth. You have to open yourself to me. You have to talk to me about your life. You have to listen to me when I talk to you. Because many people, you see, during the marriage conference, for example, there was a young couple that came who have been seeing each other for 3 years. You see, and I think their questions was not asked, so they came to see me directly to answer their questions for them. But those of you who didn't come, me, I shouldn't even tell you because you should have come. So they've been together for 3 years. You see, you don't know how confused people are and how people need a pastor. How people need people to influence them. They've been together for 3 years. They love each other. So what next? The guest is some pastor told her something. I said, what can a pastor tell you? Does a pastor want to marry you? Well, what will you tell a girl not to, so that she will not marry the guy that she's in love with? And the girl is saying that the boy is go to club and he smoke and he's this, that. So ask, so why don't you, if he goes to club, why don't you just leave him? If smoking and going to club is what you find it difficult to marry him, then leave him now. Now. Just disappear. If you can't leave, then shut your mouth and marry him. Why? Why do you make life so complicated? You want something you can't get. Or you want something you don't want to pay the price for. If you want a genuine guy who is clean, then leave this guy and find somebody who's genuine. If you cannot leave him, then marry him. That's why people won't tell me their business, because I'll tell you something you don't like. Yeah, because you you make life too, you make things too complicated. So if this person had not also opened herself to me in obedience, I would never have been able to influence her. Because there are so many things you need in your life. There's a great mindset, a mind change that you need. I tell you. Unless you open up yourself in obedience and in submission, you cannot really be the place where God wants you to be. So in the lay ministry is an example of submission and obedience. Because it is not such a simple thing to have a job, a demanding job, a qualified job, a whatever job, and still be able to offer part of your time and your life to the ministry and the work of preaching. It is obedience. It is submission. That you are whoever, wherever. But when you come to the church, you are also able to follow what the pastor is asking you to do through the instructions of God. Because if you find yourself in the place where God wants to use you fully, it is a place of submission and obedience. In John chapter 21, verse 18. Obedience and submission. Without which you cannot work with anybody. Verily, verily. You see, this is a season where Jesus had risen from the dead. He was in ministry for about 3 years with the 12 disciples. And he had preached with them. It was a phase of the lay ministry, because even though Peter and co had left everything to follow Jesus, they still had Jesus with them. So it was not kind of a complete, they were not on their own. Things were being done for them. I mean, if they were hungry, Jesus would get them food. So it's like they were on a job training or something like that. So when Jesus rose up from the dead, he was having some discourses with them. And he said here that, verily, verily, I say unto thee, that when you were young, you girded thyself. Can you please give us Creole's Bible? Do you have NLT? Give me the Living Translation. The truth is, Jesus is speaking here. When you were young, you were able to do as you liked. Look, you must really listen to this verse and look at the contrast. The contrast in the spiritual sense, that doesn't really make sense if you are not thinking spiritually. Destiny Child, are you listening? The truth is, when you were young, you were able to do as you liked. And you go wherever you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and others will direct you and take you where you don't want to go. Where you don't want to go, it is only when you are old that you can do that. So those of you who are doing what you feel like doing, you are a child. You are a child. Because if you are old, you stretch your hands. It's like you don't have eyes. And then somebody will hold your hands and will lead you, the Bible says, to where you don't want to go. To marry somebody who otherwise you would never have married. To do something with your life that you would have never done with your life. To break your life and go to Ghana and study theology for 4 years, for 3 years. Something that you would have never thought about. That's what you do when you are matured. You stretch your hand and somebody takes you on. In complete obedience and submission. How else can a grown up be taken to a place where he has not decided to go if it's not in obedience and in submission? I see, that is a very great place to come to. And the lay ministry offers you a tidbit. It offers you a tip of the iceberg of submission and obedience. For us to come to Guyana, it was a matter of submission and obedience. And many people did not understand, because they wanted to know from us if God spoke to us. God didn't speak to us. Hey, Sister Elsie, did God speak to you? I remember clearly. Bishop was in London. And he called. And he said, where's Elsie? I want to talk to Elsie. I gave Elsie the phone. Bishop said, pack your bags and go to Trinidad. That was it. He didn't ask me. Bishop didn't tell me anything. He called. I picked up the phone. He said, I want to talk to Elsie. And I passed the phone to Elsie. He told Elsie, pack your bags, you and the children, go to Trinidad now. Wow. All I had to do was somebody bought ticket. If somebody even bought a ticket for them. I think the ticket was bought from Switzerland. Submission of an obedience. As somebody who doesn't have brains, those of you who think you have brains, you are a child. Yeah, and it's sad to deal with children. Hey, look at the children at the back there. Look at how when we're there, somebody goes, ah! I wanted to slap that little boy. I think it's one of the red boys, right? He said, hey, we don't bring children to this place. That's how it happened. So by the 2nd of January, my wife and children were at the airport on their way to Trinidad. Me, I've married my wife, paid all the money her father wanted. Then my pastor calls my wife and says, pack your bags and go to another country. It's not fantastic. You cannot tell us that we are trying to take you through things that we don't know about. Don't talk like that. You just got to know us. That's why you are speaking like that. I was talking to our pastor in London, Lady Pastor Kizzy. I said, you, when we are looking for you, we can't get you until you finish your work. We all worked. We all used to work in a secular world. But we had time to do church things though. Oh, please. Maybe you don't like the church work, that's why. You cannot keep me in any business place that I will not get an excuse to go and do what I want to do for God. You can't keep me anywhere. You cannot. Today, I had to do a transaction with one of our church members. And she told me that they were going to have a meeting at work. And then she told the boss lady that she called me just now. The boss lady said, no, we are going to have an important meeting. She said, boss lady, this thing is urgent. She was coming to meet me for us to go and do something. It's urgent. How can she put me to be standing and say, hello, where's she there? And then, oh, Rev, I'm sorry, you know, some meeting came up at work. Hey. No, you can stay in the meeting, but if you also make yourself available, it speaks of who you are. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that if there's a meeting, you should not go to the meeting. But those who are able to leave the meeting for church things are very different. They're very, very different. I tell you. So I told Kizzy, I said, you, when you go and sit at that place wherever you work, no, we cannot get you. But you are the pastor. You are actually the manager or the regional education officer, something for Region 10. How can we not get you until 7 o'clock? What kind of behavior is that? I said, you don't understand the lay ministry. We all have done lay ministry before. Bishop will call me from Ghana. And he says, Collins, tomorrow morning I'm arriving in Amsterdam. I want to see you. I said, no problem, Bishop. My boss, there's no feeling of leave. There's no feeling of something. The very morning I call my boss, I said, boss, I need to take a half day. Boss, I need to take a half day. I said, okay, all right, no problem. You go ahead and do whatever. I'm just going to meet Bishop at the airport. We sit down, we eat breakfast, and we jab, and we chat. And it's about 11:30, 12, his next flight, he leaves, and I come back to work. It's like, I want to finish some emergency. Yeah. That was how he even was able to tell me, leave here and go to Guyana. Because he knew who I was. He knew who he could talk to. Because he will not talk to anybody who does not listen to him. Will you talk to somebody who will not listen to you? No. So after relating for years, he realized that this is somebody who has given him, I can influence this person. I can tell him to go here. I can actually help him follow God properly. He picked up the phone. He called my wife. Yeah, and himself and my wife go all the way back to when the church started. Yeah, my wife was the one who used to serve Bishop with drinks after church. After the pastor preaches, you know, in our churches, you know, you bring you water. You know? My wife was the one who used to do all of that when the church started. As a little girl going to nursing school. Yeah. You don't know where we have come from. So I had to stay back and organize things. Brian! I had to stay back and organize and give the landlord notice. Pack our things, this, that. And I also checked out. I mean, your wife and children have left already. You can't change your mind. If you change your mind, they've gone. From Europe to Caribbean islands, Trinidad. Hey! First time we heard of a place, Trinidad, going to Trinidad and Tobago. I landed when they were doing carnival. The place was big. I said, hey, what is this? And I was in Trinidad and he said, okay, go to Guyana. I packed my bags and I came to Guyana. I went to live in Virgin Ocean in a zinc house. I lived there for 1 month. Like I had me heading good. We're okay in Europe. We're okay in Europe. Found a place in Georgetown. Eccles. Moved to Eccles. Because it was a zinc sheet, some small room and thing. I couldn't let them come. I had to wait and get some place that they could come. We had shipped a few things also. So it wouldn't be a virginity zinc sheet, man. Got a top flat in Eccles, BB, Eccles, BB. And we moved there and then they came. And then we started to buy everything. Buy chair, buy TV, buy dining set. Buy fridge, everything we had to start buying. Like, my pastor just said, go. And that's all of that happened to me. You cannot get to that place if you will not start now to obey and to submit. You will not get to that place. Because that place is highly demanding. It's highly demanding. For God to ask you to sacrifice your Isaac or your Isaac, for Jesus to tell you that when you were young, you used to just do whatever you want to do. But now that I'm leaving you and I'm going, somebody's going to hold your hands and take you where you did not decide to go and then where you don't want to go. Hey, how many have felt that some of the things I'm making you do, you don't like to do it? How many of you have felt like that before? Yeah, the childishness is still there. I know some of you struggle with the things I want you to do. But you see, that's the thing. If you struggle now with obedience and submission, Toya, the greater place, you will never get there. Because that place, it demands complete obedience and complete submission. Even though I felt that in Europe I was somebody, I am rather more somebody now. And if you understand. Yeah, no, I'm a pastor of a multi-million dollar organization in Guyana. This building is millions of Guyanese dollars. Am I not a multi-million dollar pastor? Or if you are selling this property, it's a double lot. If you like, go and bring valuation officers, let them come evaluate the place. Millions of Guyanese dollars. So I'm a pastor who is managing millions of dollars of property. Ned, 17 or 70? 70 million. Pastor Ned is a valuator. He has valued it for 70 million. That's what we go in and come up. That's what. And I manage the place. When I was in Europe, we had a place. We meet only Sundays, 2 hours. Tuesdays, 2 hours. When your 2 hour finishes, they are coming to close the door. You can't stay another 15 or 20 minutes. They will give you warning. And if they give you more, because there are more churches who are looking for places to rent. So if they give you warning, they move you out, you are lost. We used to do all night in somebody's apartment. Friday night, all night. In somebody's apartment, we used to pray. We'll pray and the neighbor will be hitting the wall. Bah, 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 bah. Shh, you have to reduce our tongues because when you speak in tongues for a while, you know, you get charged and you forget that you are disturbing. That's how we used to pray. Friday night, we go to somebody's apartment and we are there. Shepherd's beat, pray till the morning. In Europe. Well, I thought I was a big guy. Now I can be here from Monday to Monday, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Nobody can come and tell me to move. But this point here had come through the submissions and the obediences. I tell you. I'll be there and Bishop will tell me, you know what? I want you to come to Ghana for training. And then he will ask me, you know, how about 3 weeks? Then I have to go to my boss and ask for 3 weeks. Sometimes the 3 weeks, maybe it's even more than what I'm required. So I have to, a few days, I have to just take leave without pay. You get it? And I'll go to Ghana. And I'll be there. Are you here? Yes. I'll be there. I'll be there as if I don't work anywhere. And after the training, I come back, and I come back into my secular world. Nobody knows that I've gone to be a pastor in training. There's a meeting. Come. I remember one day. Love, I don't know whether you were with us. I don't think you were with us. I drove from 4 a.m. in the morning from Holland until midnight in some village in England. Were you with me? There are 5 of us in a car. Drove through Belgium, France, Calais, across the English Channel to Dover. Straight to some place. We got lost. It was my first time driving in England. Got lost. Yes, because Bishop was having a camp. And we said, we want to go to the camp. That's all. That's all. It was a church camp. It wasn't some shopping or some honeymoon. It was a church, Bishop church camp. And we, you know, we missed the train, the first train that crosses the English Channel, the sea into England. Because we planned to drive to the church premises and they would have driven with them. We would drive behind the buses. So when we missed that train, it put us behind. When we got to London, they had left. And I didn't take the address properly. All I knew was the town. Hey! I've never gotten lost in my life like that before. 4 a.m. in the morning, we took off from Holland. We finally found the campsite midnight. I told the people in the vehicle, I said, this last direction this white man is giving us. If we don't find a place, we park the car and we sleep. And then tomorrow morning, we'll go back to Holland. It wasn't me and my wife only. We are taking 3 church members with us. Obedience and submission. Midnight, in some remote area, dark place, we approach a building. All of a sudden, I heard Bishop's voice. Come and see excitement. We found a place, finally. You don't know who is preaching, who is standing in front of you and preaching. You don't know. You don't know at all. You don't know at all. When Bishop saw us, he said, hey, Collins. Because I'm sure he himself, where they had taken him for the camp. And he's wondering, how did you get yourself? We drove. You drove. I said, yeah, we've been lost for almost a day. Yeah. It's sad that we don't have a road to Brazil. You will see me in Rio de Janeiro tomorrow. I tell you. You can't keep me in a box. You cannot keep me in a box. Oh, your box will be too small for me. And you need somebody like that to be your leader so he can challenge you. I say you need somebody like that to lead you so he can challenge you and provoke you. You shouldn't want a leader who is soft, allows you to do whatever you want to do. That's not, look, he says, but when you are old, you will stretch your hands and others will direct you. Others will direct you. Somebody else will direct you to eat food you don't like, to make some choices you have not. It's fantastic. I never knew my pastor, Bishop Dag, would choose a country. Not even him. It's God who chose a country for me to live in. I was born in Ghana. I migrated to Europe. I found myself in Guyana. Never knew. Yeah. You maybe God is not saying you are born in Guyana, you migrate to Essequibo and then find yourself in Georgetown. Maybe there's nothing like that. Just small home cell meetings. Hey, so what type of Christian are you? That submission and obedience you can't do. Submission and obedience is part of the lay ministry. You have to submit. You have to obey. It's part of it. Because the moment where you come into full-time ministry, hey, let me tell you something. In the early days, one bishop sends us to missions like this. He gives you 2 years. If 2 years, the church cannot pay you a salary, you close down the church, you come back to Ghana. Yeah. Because you can't send over 2,000 pastors into the world and then be giving everybody money. Who can take care of 2,000 children? You are not a country, you are just a church. How much tithe do you receive? Even a small church with Bible students, with pastors who have come back, with church members and all of that, sometimes the financial burden is a little too much. Yeah. And there are things that you don't know about that we are involved in, which involves finances. Even for us, a church like something can be a little too heavy. So, 2 years passed. I didn't hear anything. So, I was enjoying. I was still getting my salary from London. At the point in the month, you go, you check your account. And the money smiling to you. This is smiling. I've come from London. Nice money. One day, we're at Siloam. And I saw Bishop Richard's number. I said, hey, this man, when he calls you, London. Very serious. So I answered the call. And he said, he's sending some new missionaries. So he needs the money that he sends to me. He needs it to give to them. and he's asking if it's okay. I said, obedience and submission. I said, oh, Bishop, it's okay. He said, wow, Chale, you have really made my day. Thank you very much. Next month, as if it was a joke, nothing came. So that next month, we all were called to come to Ghana. We went to Ghana for a meeting. Bishop was furious. If you can't have a salary from your church, come back. And he started one by one. Can your church pay you? No? Pack your bags and come. Hey, secretary. Out, okay? Yes, Bishop. Next. Can your church pay you? By the grace of God, I realized that my church could pay me something. He said, if your church can pay you something and to help you, you can do some other jobs or something and add up. And be happy there. If you can't, come back to Ghana. That's why I started driving taxi. Yeah. I've been a taxi driver before. I was number 25. 25 was my number. Yeah. I was 25. Huh? Obedience. I didn't say I was coming to Guyana. If I don't even know about God, Evanda, it was you, Bishop, who said I should come. So how come now you're saying you won't give me money no more? Okay, if you don't give me money, it's okay. Sweetie, pack your bags, let's go. No. Somehow, that was not the option. The option was to force and to stay here and to survive and prosper here. I used to drive taxi. I tell you. Until one day, a 70-year-old man from America, I was dispatched to pick him up. When I picked him up, he said, let's go to Blegeze. Is it Blegeze you call it? I'll say Bleichesicht. I said, let's go to Blegeze or something like that. I took him there. We stopped. I had a cross. My driving room had a cross. So he said, hey, are you also superstitious? I said, yes. Because he thought that the cross was there to give me good luck or something, right? So one day, we were waiting. He said, I'm picking somebody from here. I said, all right. Then lo and behold, I saw some fine girl. Looks like she has HIV or something. With some fancy makeup. Dress up, hurrying, coming out. I began to speak in tongues. I said, I couldn't believe that the old 70, what does he have at 70 years old to go? He told me he was 70. And he's come to pick, I don't know, this was a call girl or some, I don't know, but the way she appeared was very, very funny. And he's telling me at that age, because when I picked him up, we were chatting and he told me, oh, I'm 70. And he's telling me that he's going to do that to this girl. So when we picked her up, he said, okay, East Coast. Okay, Alpha Hotel. Hey, you know there. Hey, crazy. And I drove. And he said, hey, this way, this building here, that hotel there. I said, okay. So I went around. I think, oh, there. When you're going to Ogle, you turn, you'll come back. I drove all the way to the back. And he gave me money. I stopped work that day. I didn't go back to the base. I finished working. I asked myself, what kind of job is this? All so that I could get enough money and stay in Guyana and preach, oh, so that you will come to the church today that you are sitting down. If I'd gone away, you would not have been here. You have come and I'm asking you, be a cell leader, be this, help me, let's do this. You are sitting down. Some of you even get annoyed with me. You get vexed with me. You don't know what you are getting vexed with. You don't know what you are getting annoyed with. I picked some schoolgirls one day also. One sat in the front of the vehicle and she turned her side to look at me like that and she shook her hair like that. And she touched my radio and turned the volume on. Schoolgirl. You know what I'm talking about. Your mind is bad. That's why you are reacting. And when she turned the tape on hard, it was Donnie McLaughlin. Just for me. Just for me. Then she quickly checked herself up like that. He said, can you take us in a jiffy? Can you speed a little bit more? I looked at a schoolgirl like my daughter's age. I said, how come? He said, if I had not become a taxi driver, you would not get this place to sit. I had to do that for money to be able to. The money I wasn't getting. It's not easy to become a taxi driver. Because I was only working from 8 to 5. I didn't want no night business. Me want nobody take me nowhere. Yeah. It was a difficult taxi. I had to do that. So that Destiny, I'll be here today for you to come. Now, if you have come to, if I ask Destiny to do something, because you don't know where I have come from, you will react in a certain way. That's why it takes only maturity, spiritual maturity, for you to be held by the hand by somebody else and take you to a place where you have not decided to go or where you don't even want to go. It takes spiritual maturity to be able to even respond to things like that. Spiritual maturity. In Genesis chapter 22, let me close with this. Obedience and submission is if you take away the lay ministry, if we take away you getting involved, obedience and submission, you will never understand what it means. You never understand what it means. Later on, God tested Abraham's faith and obedience. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied, here I am. And he said, take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will point out to you.
The Bible says the next morning, Abraham got up early, as if he had been good. He saddled his donkey and took two of his servants with him, along with his son Isaac. Then he chopped wood to build a fire for a burnt offering and set out for the place where God had told him to go. This place here, I am a friend of God, Abraham, to receive the name and the status where Lazarus had to die and go to Abraham's bosom for that Abraham to be established. It was a path of obedience and submission. Ladies and gentlemen, if you can't learn how to submit and be obedient, you will not go far. You will not go far. Instead of allowing even idiots to poison your mind about the church, idiots to poison your mind about the pastor, idiots to poison your mind about what you are doing, you better sit up and know that if you are being asked to do something you don't like, that's exactly what is good for you. Who goes to the hospital and is giving what they like to be given? If you go to the hospital, is it what you like that they give to you? The treatment they give to us at the hospital from the first point, minute you step into the hospital, you don't like it until you leave. Because the hospital is not a hotel. The hospital is a place to be healed. When you go to a hotel, you go and lie down, you enjoy yourself. When you go to a hospital, we take you through things that you may not like. Tests and things and all kinds of treatment and all kinds of things that you know you cannot even fight it, because if you fight it, then it's like, okay, then you be there. That's why we subject ourselves through it. It takes submission and obedience to go anywhere and to come anywhere far. And that's what God is offering us, even in the lay ministry, as a volunteer in a church, as somebody who will work normally 8 to 5 and then give a few evenings of your time to God. Let me tell you, everybody works. Everybody is going to work. There's no job, there's no engagement, there's no activity or responsibility you will have that will be too much to not submit and obey. Should I say that point again? I said, you cannot engage in any activity here on earth that will be too much for you not to submit and obey to the things that God wants you to do. There's nothing like, there's none. Bishop said when he started the church, he was a doctor working in the hospital. He used to go to work Sunday mornings, but the church was in the hospital compound. So you tell Bishop Saki, when it is time for preaching, call me. So you'll be at the hospital taking care of patients, and then they'll send a message to him that preaching is in 5 minutes time. Then you take a little excuse. Say, I come in just now. Why can't you not just come just now? I come in just now, it's okay. And then he'll go to the church and preach. When he finishes, that's altar call. He goes back to sit down and start taking care of patients again. What job can you, what job, what responsibility, what are in your life can hinder you from becoming submissive and obedient? There's nothing like that. That's why I said I was telling Lady Pastor Kizzy in London, we have all been in lay ministry before. We have all been there before, where we used to work and do church work. One day my boss said that from this month, we are starting Sunday work. I said, really? Okay. I work first Sunday because I had a lady pastor from Ghana who was visiting us at that time. So I could work. She preached. Second Sunday, she wouldn't have been there. She was going back to Ghana. I asked myself, so when she goes to Ghana, what's going to happen? How can me, the pastor now, I am working? Who should preach? What kind of pastor am I? I told my boss, I'm resigning. In Europe, you see, it's not like Guyana where when you resign, you're still okay in a way. In Europe, when you resign from a job, they have a system where the government will support you if you're out of a job. But if you resign yourself, you don't get any support. Because you yourself, you is you who said you don't like the job. I knew it. But I said, I'd rather take the risk
of not having a job for how long and my rent and everything will be a problem than work on a Sunday morning. What kind of pastor am I? A Sunday morning, I'm somewhere working. And then the people I'm leading rather are in the church worshiping God. What kind of pastor am I? What kind of church worker and church leader are you? We can't be in the church when it is service. And then the people who are following you rather are in the church. What kind of leader are you? So I resigned. I was hot. My rent was supposed to be paid. Everything that a human being pays at the end of the month, I was also supposed to pay. And you know how these places are. It's from hand to mouth. Hey, when your check comes, by the end of the month, it's finished. 2 weeks of hell. Then I got a call from a job agency. I've never had such a treatment before. They taught me how to go for interviews. They taught me how to dress for interviews. They told me how to speak at interviews. I went for an interview. They started answering the questions. Then the lady realized that I'm from Africa, I'm from Ghana. Then the whole interview changed into African food. By the time we finished, she was telling me when to report to work, when she had actually not stated that I have been hired. She had already gone ahead to tell me when to report. Yeah. 2 weeks of hell. That was a job that set me up in Europe for all the 15 years I lived there. Yeah. That same person who hired me, after 2 years, she left that company. And then she went to another company, American company, that was starting in Holland. Then she called me and said, would you like to be my assistant manager? I said, why not? Then she organized an interview for me. The people had taught me at a job agency, when you go for interviews, you should bluff. When you go for interviews, you bluff. It's service. You don't want me, don't take me. But they taught me to bluff. I don't know whether you can bluff in Guyana, but we bluff in Europe. Yeah. You can bluff here if you get a good job. We can bluff. So they asked me how much I want to be paid. That was the first time in my life somebody has asked me, how much money do I want to receive? The people have taught me to bluff. So I bluffed. I asked for double of the salary I used to get from the previous job. To my surprise, they said, no problem. We'll get back to you. I walk in power. I'm walking in miracles. I live a life of that's power. But I had to forgo a boss who wanted to keep me down on a Sunday morning. I had to submit myself. I had to allow the church to lead me to a place that I knew this is not a place I want to be without a job in Europe. I didn't even know how long it was going to take for me to get a job. Set me up. One of the most nicest jobs. I used to travel. I leave Holland in the morning. I go to France to work. And in the afternoon, I board another plane back. When we go for meetings, I'm the only black man in the meeting. And I'll be doing presentations. I do PowerPoint. What is PowerPoint? PowerPoint presentations. White people. Holy black man. They didn't know I used to preach. So they used to like my presentation. Because as I'm presenting, it looks like I'm preaching. Yeah. They used to enjoy my presentation. They didn't know that but Bishop Dag was training me in preaching. That's why I was presenting like that. Yeah. That job took me to hotels I've never dreamt to sleep in before. That job was the job that took me to a restaurant with white people. I saw the cutlery, the fork and knife. There were about 5 forks, 5 knives, 5 spoons. And I asked myself, what are all these things for? In Africa, where I was born, you just use your hand. This is your fork, your knife, your spoon. Everything right here. What is all this trouble? Wine glass, 2 wine glasses, water glass, drink. Oh, fantastic. Plates are set up on each other like that. Olive oil, bread in olive oil. Spiced olive oil. Hey. Huh.
the bed in the hotel room.
Oh, Lord.
You don't want to get up. You don't want to get up. Yeah. Because I risk my life for going to church to preach in obedience and submission. He lifted me up. He lifted me up. Cry. Fantastic. That was the job that also took me to the Swiss Alps. You know the Swiss Alps? The Swiss mountains with snow on top of the mountain. Black man from Africa trying to do skiing on the snow. When I go one, I fall. When I go one, I fall. I told my boss, it's okay. Because my boss was from Switzerland. So one manager's retreat with all our spouses, he took us to the top of the mountain. He said, snow. When you are there, you see the whole place like that. Snow. I said, me from Africa, Ghana. Look at where I am. I am suspended on the mountain. You can ask my wife. She was with me. Obedience and submission. That is what it is. That is Christianity. A lay ministry that gives you a taste of ministry offers you that also. So that when your time comes to sacrifice your Isaac, you will not fast and pray and cast out devils. Because you can easily say that it's Satan who's talking to you. Because you don't want to obey. Because you don't want to submit. So you find reasons why this thing is not from God. You find reasons why this is not a reasonable thing. You find reasons why this is unbearable. This is not okay. Because you lack the ability to submit and to obey. Without a challenge. I'm going to see the fruits of this message right after this church. I'm going to see the fruits of this message right after this service. Stand to your feet, please. My time is up. Hallelujah. Trust and obey. You know the hymn? For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. When we walk with the Lord, when we walk with the Lord, in the light of His word, what a glory He sheds all our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Trust and obey one more time. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Father, tonight, thank you for speaking to our hearts. Our lives are indeed never the same again. I thank you for submission and the spirit of obedience that, Lord, we are walking in now, even in your church. In the name of Jesus.
You are not saved. You are not born again. You want to go to heaven when you die. This is a prayer you must pray. Pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with all my heart that Jesus died for me. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. And I believe Jesus is alive right now. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and make my heart your home. I believe that by this simple prayer, I have been saved from hell. My name is written in the book of life, and I am born again now. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Collins, please call us on 592-231-0077 or email us at lciguyana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguyana.org. God richly bless you.